This is Stella Peroni interviewing Carol Wilson on the morning of September 12th. Hi, Stella. Good to be with you. So, but please go ahead and.
Okay, I'll tell you just a bit about my when I was born in October 1931. I was born in San Francisco, even though my mother and dad lived in Mill Valley. My mother actually had to take the ferry to the doctor at who was at St. Francis Hospital. She went early and stayed with an aunt who lived in the city so that she wouldn't have that anxiety on the ferry and the train and ferry. I am a fifth generation Californian. I go back to an ancestor who was born in San Diego in 17 something. I'll dig that up. So I was born before the Golden Gate Bridge was built. My mother was Alice Cavalli, Alice Bickerstaff Cavalli, Bickerstaff, Bickerstaff. And she was born in San Francisco. My dad is Hugh Cavalli, was Hugh Cavalli. He was born in Olema. And my brother Glenn was also born in the city, same hospital. We lived at the family home at 11 Hill Street in Mill Valley. And the schools I went to went through K through 8 to Park School, which my mother went to Park School also. And then I went to Tamil Pious High School. My mother went to Tamil Pious High School also, and as did my three children. Then I went to College of Marin and transferred to UC Berkeley after 2 years. And then, oh, I was going to talk about Mill Valley in my youth. Things I remember about old Mill Valley. The Northwestern Pacific train came into town from Sausalito, and my dad took the train and then ferry to San Francisco where he worked. Mill Valley had everything, everything. Grocery stores, department store, hardware stores, pharmacies. Let's see, the department store was Albert's Department Store. It later became Mayer's. They had
Well,
everything from bedding, glasses, clothing, menswear, women's wear, everything.
where was it?
That was right in the corner of Miller and Throckmorton, where there's a coffee shop there today now. It later became Mayer's Department Store. I think it was the same family that owned it. Well, let's see now. Grocery stores, oh my gosh, Mill Valley Market, of course, was there. Safeway came into Mill Valley, I understand, in 1931. There were small grocery stores. There's a small grocery store up Throckmorton across the street from the old Mill Park. And there was a grocery store and meat market down at in the Locust District. I remember my mother going there to buy meat from it was Lindsay's Meat. I'm trying to think of his first name. And they had that probably they had produce there also.
Was that when you say the Locust District? Can you be more specific?
Well, down Miller, near Locust Avenue, and trying to think of it, across the street from the 2 a.m. Club, which is everybody knows the 2 a.m. Club.
So on Miller or
It was on
on
Miller,
Miller. Okay, got
across
it.
the street, from the catty
Got it.
corner from the 2 a.m. Club. I remember going there with my mother shopping, plus.
Do you remember the Homestead grocery store? That was a block down from the 2 a.m. club?
I vaguely remember it. I don't think we ever went there as my mother didn't go there, but we had plenty, plenty of grocery stores. There were hardware stores. There were two hardware stores Tamil Pies Hardware was owned by Mr. Dukes and Ralph Tiemann.
Where was that?
That was down on Miller. It was down, across from the Book Depot, the park, the lot there, the park there. Down on Miller, down from the, is that the Wells Fargo? Right, yeah, right down from the Wells Fargo, down south of the Wells Fargo. And then there was the other hardware store, Varney's Hardware. Now, I don't know if that was General Hardware. No, that wasn't General Hardware. It was just Varney's Hardware. And that was down from the Sequoia Theater. That was there for many years. We had three pharmacies in town. Three pharmacies. Lawson and Dyer and Rutherford Pharmacy. Maybe it was just two pharmacies. Bakeries, sweet shops, or luncheon places. Two dime stores. I remember there's a dime store up on Throckmorton, up where the Sweetwater used to be, kind of facing that month. I'm not sure. Anyway, and then the other dime store was just across from the Outdoor Club. One was Bennett's. I can't remember which. And lots of gas stations. There was a gas station on almost every corner. I mean, there were many gas stations. We even had a car agency. There was a Ford car agency on East Blythedale, right now by the General Services, the stationery store there, right next to it. There's a little deli there. That's where the Ford agency was. Oh, there was a grocery store there, too, next to, there is now a furniture store. And that was, that could have been Mill Valley Market. It wasn't Mill Valley. Anyway, it was a market there, and they had a fine butcher department in there. And then, memories come back. Then there was down on Miller, we always called it the Quonset Hut. It's there now, and it's the Whole Foods. But that was there, I guess, I was more of a teenager. But they had a fine meat market in there also. Okay, let's see now. As I said, I'm sure there was a car agency down on Miller, but I don't recall right now. We had jewelers. We had doctors in town. I remember three doctors. There was a Dr. Fowler, Dr. Landrock, and I think the Goddards. There were two Goddards. They're brothers, and they had an office on East Blythedale. Let me think. Just probably near Hill Street, East Blythedale and Hills, south of that, or maybe east. Our Lady of Mount Carmel, when I was very young, was at the corner of Buena Vista and West Blythedale. It was a very small, I thought, charming church. They had two big palm trees. I remember those out in front. And I was baptized at Our Lady of Mount Carmel, and I'm not sure what priest was there then. I also remember the Sequoia Theater. Oh my gosh, my grandmother used to take me to movies when I was little. I think so Sequoia, she would take me to scary movies, I remember. there were, Old Mill School was there for the students north of town. And I went to Park, which I lived on Hill Street, and that was sort of considered the south of town. At Park, I went through K through 8. Did I say that? I think I did. And it was a wonderful school. I do remember my kindergarten teacher was Miss Olney. The principal was Edna McGuire. That's, yeah. And let me think. As I said, I went through kindergarten. I still have some friends today that I went from the fourth grade on with, still around.
Who are they?
One was Pat Kavanaugh. She is now Pat Kavanaugh Fuller, and she lives in Petaluma. Another one, Stanley Acheson was in my kindergarten class, and I just read last week that Stanley died.
Was he living in Mill Valley?
He was Mill Valley. He lived on Buena Vista.
Yeah, who else from your grammar school is still around, living in
that
Mill
are
Valley?
Still around?
Living in Mill Valley.
Oh, living in Mill Valley, no.
Okay.
Nobody, but I have friends. My friend, when I went to Tambo Pius High School, I'm just kind of skipping around here, I had friends from all over, from Fairfax, Sausalito, San Anselmo, Belvedere, Tiburon, because Tambo Pius High School had all the students, all the children, high school age children went to Tambo Pius High School in Marin County, except for Tomales High School. It was the only high school, except for San Rafael High School, and the students that lived in San Rafael went to San Rafael High School. We had a bus system that picked up kids from all over the county. So I had friends, therefore, from many towns around, not only just Mill Valley, but good friends from all over. And so that was really nice. It was great. We were a very democratic school, we felt.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
If you had a friend from San Anselmo, a high school friend, you wanted to visit them, like on a weekend, you took the train or what did you
do? Oh, the train wasn't going then.
Oh, okay. You took the bus?
The bus system. Okay. Greyhound bus. Transfer at Marin City.
So you'd have to go to Marin City,
yeah,
if you wanted to go to San Anselmo?
Marin City was the hub.
Okay.
What
was Marin City like then?
Marin City was developed during the wartime years for the shipyard, Marin Ship. They built those temporary houses, and people from Midwestern states, Oklahoma, came to Marin County. Before that, I don't think we had any Negroes living in Marin County, or maybe so that I didn't know about. But they came and they lived in Marin City in this, what was supposed to be, temporary housing built for the ship workers. And they stayed. But it was a great influx of people. Let's see, I started high school in 1945. The war started, I think it was 41, mostly in 42, or then they built the Marin Ship. It was going 24 hours a day, and many people worked there.
What was in Marin City before they...
I think it was a ranch.
Okay, so was that? Did the bus hub just come to Marin City after all the housing?
I guess after the railroad, the train left, after the Golden Gate Bridge was built, they disbanded the train from Mill Valley to Sausalito, and they had put in the Greyhound bus service, which they had the commuter bus in the morning. They went from like Mill Valley to San Francisco, but midday you had to go through to Marin City and transfer to like San Francisco or any place other than San Anselmo or whatever. Yeah, they had the bus system. They had the train system going all the way up to Well, I know to manner. In fact, I just talked to someone who said I took the train to high school. And I was like really amazed. And she's older than I am, but she remembers she lived in San Anselmo, I believe, and she took the train to high school. So it must have been in around 42 when they got the Greyhound bus system in. It'd be something to have to look up about that. And they disbanded the train. Okay, I went to Park School, and as I said before, my mother went there also. It was a wonderful school. I just loved it. I did mention the teachers that I remember, a few of them. Oh, Mr. Kiesel was our principal. I remember that in the eighth grade. We did lots of things. I do remember having a tennis tournament at the courts across the street from the Park School. We had plays. I do remember the dances we had. Mrs. Kavanaugh and Mrs. Edgerton, they were the chaperones at dances we had in parks when I was at Park School. At the Old Mill School, we went to Friday night dances, and they played records.
Was this just the eighth graders?
No. The kids, well, no.
Anybody, it was open to?
Well, I guess it was open to anyone, but it's mostly eighth graders.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, all those were fun. We really had fun. I don't seem to remember. I'm just struggling.
Classes. How many, classes were there? How many eighth grade classes?
There were two. I think they're two high and low. One, say, high first would start, high first grade would start in September, and low first grade would start in just after the first of the year. So there were two. There were all the way through, high first and high second, blah, blah. And
how was it determined who got into the high or the low?
Age.
Birthday,
yeah. Sorry, I'm drawing a blank on that.
Did you have a victory garden there?
Oh, right. That was one of the things we had in grammar school. During the war, they promoted children to start a garden, a vegetable garden. And it was on East Blythedale by, Lawson and Dyer, where Lawson and Dyer was, by Sycamore. Across the street of Sycamore and East Blythedale, and they had hoses for us, and we had to till the soil and plant our seeds, and then water, and every day we would go up to water, maybe it was every other day we went up and watered our garden. And even then, I was not a very good gardener. I remember I planted carrots, and I didn't have a lot of success, but we had fun as children during that. The other thing I remember at Park was we would have an hour of listening to classical music, which was very interesting. I can barely remember that, but we would have this classical music hour. They would pipe it over the loudspeaker. Also, I do remember during the wartime, we had drills, bombing drill, air raid drills. We would have to line up and go down into the basement of Park School. And I remember I was always terrified. I was thinking, oh no, are we going to be bombed? And during that time, this is aside from Park School, my dad was a warden. And I remember he had certain nights that he went up to the headlands and looked for enemy planes.
Wait, what do you mean he was a warden?
An air raid warden.
Oh, and that was a civilian job?
Oh, yeah. It was a voluntary job. And Yeah, it was actually very frightening when I was most, this is the actually this is when I was in high school, because I didn't go to high school till 45, but still there was the threat. Now I have to backtrack. I guess this was more when I was at Park School, because the war started in 41, 42, and that's when he did it, you know. So high school, I had a wonderful time. I loved high school. So I said, my friends were from all over the county, and Tamalpais was such a wonderful school. There were so many opportunities there. They had the art classes, the leather classes. I remember being in the leather class. They had a print shop. They printed our Tamalpais High School newspaper, the TAM. I guess it's I've forgotten the name of it. But we had a newspaper every Friday, and the kids, you know, and I was a reporter. I took journalism, and I was a reporter. I reported on local things that happened around the school. But it was a good, you know, there were sports in there and very interesting articles. We had as I said,
Were there any girls' sports teams?
there was GAA, and they had their team, their, I don't know if it was just within the school, I think it was. I was always interested in golf. At that point, my family had moved from Eleven Hill to Montecito, which is now Del Casa Drive. They built a house in, I was in the first or second grade at Park School, and they built a house. On it was called Montecito, 137 Montecito, and we were really out away from other houses on this one little street that we lived on, which connected to Del Casa. There were three houses, so I had to walk everywhere. Walk to school. I walked to Park School. Walk to, I guess, Blythedale to pick up the bus to Tam High, but my mother and dad and brother got interested, and we would take walks after dinner, and we'd walk to the golf course, which was just very close down the road and then up to the ninth hole there. And we'd walk in the evenings after dinner, and then we found some golf balls, and then we got some golf clubs and would swing those. And then my mother and dad took up golf, and I took up golf. They gave me lessons when I was 13. So I was more interested in golf than I was in any other sport. I would come home from high school, take the bus home with my girlfriends, who went up to the bakery and had after school and sat and chatted and had sodas and whatever. But I would leave them, and I'd go home and I'd change my clothes, get my golf clubs, and head for the golf course where I played. I played every afternoon. Played with the guys. I always had fun. I started golf when I was 13, and I just loved it. I'm still playing, believe it or not. I'm still playing. In fact, I'm going to be in a tournament tomorrow.
Oh, good.
But I mean, that was so good for me, all the walking and such. I had to, if I wanted to go into town, downtown Mill Valley, I had to walk. My folks made me walk everywhere, you know, within reason. But I think that attributes to my good health today, is all that walking I did. So what else can we talk about now? Okay, I was going to talk about my mother and dad. My mother was Alice Bickerstaff. Well, Bickerstaff, she became Cavalli. She moved to Mill Valley with the family, grandfather Joseph Bickerstaff and his wife Minnie, my grandmother Minnie Bickerstaff. They moved to Mill Valley in 1906 after the earthquake. They were living in San Francisco. After the San Francisco earthquake, they came to Mill Valley with the family. There were seven brothers and sisters. They lived initially, they set up a tent in West Blythedale.
Wait, can I ask you why they left? Did their house in San Francisco get destroyed in the earthquake?
I don't know.
Okay, because you wonder why they left.
Yeah, well, they, with so many other people, probably, I don't know.
Okay, but go ahead. So they set up a tent.
But they set up a tent, and they lived in the tent for some time, along with many other people from the city. You know, did the same thing. They had to. I mean, there was no housing. They eventually built a house at 11 Hill Street, which was the family house where my mother lived with various aunts. At that, my mother was the youngest of seven children, so by the time she came along, three other aunts were out of the house, married. So she lived there with, I guess, my Aunt Frances and maybe her brothers. So I'm kind of vague on that, but she grew up in Mill Valley, and as I said, she went to Park Elementary and then Tamil Pius High School. My dad, Hugh Cavalli, lived in Mill Valley. My grandmother was Maud Cavalli, and Joseph Cavalli was my grandfather. My grandfather, Joseph Cavalli, worked in Mill Valley. I am not sure where. I thought at first it was a hotel, but I looked it up and I couldn't find any reference to that hotel. But he worked in Mill Valley and they built a home. I think they were there during the earthquake. They built a home for 91 East Blythedale, which is still there today. And my dad grew up there. I don't have any knowledge of where my dad went to school, except in grammar school. I know he went to school in San Francisco. He went to Commerce, which is no longer there. But he had to take the train and ferry to go to school in San Francisco. I don't know why he went there, but that was what he did. And let's see. I'll talk about my grandparents later.
Okay.
That's a whole
okay, great.
Whole subject.
So if your mother grew up in 11 Hill Street, she evidently, that's where you grew up too, so she got to inherited the family home.
Well, right. It was still a family home.
Okay.
Yeah, the uncle, I think he owned it. Well, it was, okay. I guess they
it doesn't matter who owned it, but, yeah. But that's what she got to raise her family in.
No, actually, my mother and dad married, and they lived at 11 Hill, which was the family home. I don't know what the arrangement was. And my aunt lived there also. And in 1937, I'm guessing, because I think I was around 6 or 7 years old, maybe 38, they built a house out on by the golf course.
By Montecito that you talked about.
It was on 137 Montecito.
Okay, so when you were born, you lived there with your parents,
yeah,
and your
aunt.
Yeah,
my brother and my aunt, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then...
And how long did 11 Hill stay in the family?
That I honestly
don't remember.
Because my aunt married.
Okay.
And she moved out, and I just, I don't have any, recollection of that. But I do remember living at that house, and my grandfather, we had a little cottage in back, and my grandfather, who lived at Muir Woods, I'll go into that one later.
You lived in Muir Woods?
No, my grandfather did. He would come in and into Mill Valley and stay at that house when he came into town to buy groceries or whatever. But that's a whole another faction, the Muir Woods, I'll have to, because that's very big in the family. You don't want me to go in that one right now. I do remember living at 11 Hill, and we had a well in the backyard that was covered in boards. And I was always cautioned, don't go near that well, don't go near there, but that's one of the memories I have.
You got your drinking water from there?
No, just it was not in use.
Oh, it wasn't in use.
It had been in use. And I remember the basement very thoroughly, very completely. But then we moved to, I'm kind of rambling here, over to the, by the golf course. And well, I'm kind of losing it here. Okay, after I graduated from Campbell Pius High School in 45, I went on to Campbell Pius High School.
You went on to College of Marin.
Oh, College of Marin. I'm sorry, I'm blowing this. Yeah, I went to College of Marin, and I went with friends. I got ride with friends. We would meet down. I'd meet them down on East Blythe. They'd get a ride to school. Dave Coleman was one of the drivers, and Joe Morello, whose father owned the Mill Valley Market, and other friends would take us to College of Marin, which I loved College of Marin. I went there for 2 years. I met my husband, Frank Wilson, whose name was Francois Wilson. I met him at College of Marin, and we went out, we dated a bit. And then after College of Marin, he went to the University of Oregon, graduated, and then went into the Marine Corps. I'll just tell you a bit about Frank. He was the first lieutenant, and he served in Japan, all various places, but I think Japan was his last post. And then he got out of the Marine Corps, and he came home, and everybody was gone except Carol Cavalli. So he looked me up, and I was living in the city with Pat Cavanaugh, my friend from fourth grade, and two other girls. And I was working for Bechtel Corporation. And we started in going out again after years of not seeing each other. And we were married in 1957. I didn't say much about College of Marin, but
that's okay.
We were married. When I was married, Our Lady of Mount Carmel had just built the new school next to it on Buena Vista. And I did not, the old church was there, but they were not using it. I did not want to be married in an auditorium with folding chairs. So we got permission to be married at St. Hilary's. And the priest who was stationed was at Mill Valley, was Father Lucid. And I believe it was Father O'Brien was the priest in charge of the church. So we were married at Our Lady at St. Hilary's, and we had our reception at the Outdoor Art Club. Oh, it was great. And I remember it poured buckets.
What month was this?
February 22nd, which was a bad omen, but it wasn't really, because we had a lovely marriage, I have to say.
Did Frank die?
Oh, Frank died in 2008, sadly. So Frank and I had three children. My daughter was born in 1958, Anne Marie Wilson. She still goes by that name. She lives in Ukiah. She's a school teacher, second grade school teacher. She's been a school teacher for quite some time. Anne has a daughter, Aimee Rose Johnson, who is a beautiful young girl. Aimee right now is going to the Hampshire College at Amherst. She started her second year, just started her second year at Amherst, Hampshire College at Amherst. My son, Alan Joseph Wilson, he was born in 60, and he lives in San Diego. He has one son, Nicholas Joseph Wilson. Nicholas is 14 years old now, and he's just started high school in San Diego. They live in Claremont area. Alan is an electrical engineer, no, mechanical engineer, and he has his own firm. My third child, Colin Hugh Wilson, he was born 1961 at Marin General Hospital, as Alan was, and he lives in just outside of Boulder, Colorado, in Superior, Colorado. And he and Debbie, my daughter-in-law, have two daughters, Sarah Michelle, who is 19 now, and no, she's going to be 19 next month, and Natalie, who's 16. Natalie goes to high school near Superior, and Sarah is starting Stanford in 2 weeks, or next week she's starting Stanford as a freshman. So we're quite proud of our three grandchildren. They're all wonderful, I have to say. They're all great. Okay, after Frank got out of the Marine Corps.
This is your husband now.
My husband.
Yeah, Frank. Right.
Yeah. He went to work for Industrial Indemnity Insurance Company, where he was stationed in downtown San Francisco. Actually, he was, just before we married, he was transferred to the Sacramento office. So when we were married, we moved to Sacramento, where that's where Anne Marie was born. And then we moved back to Mill Valley when he was transferred back to the San Francisco Office of Industrial Indemnity. Industrial was eventually sold to Crum & Forster, and Frank worked there until he was 57 years old, at which time he retired.
What did he do for them?
Oh, he was a manager, inland marine manager. At the time he retired, Frank's mother and father, Joseph, and I never did mention them. Let's stop because...
This is Stella Peroni with Carol Wilson on September 23rd.
Hi.
So, okay. Good morning, Carol. Go ahead with your...
Well, I thought I'd tell you today about my... going back on my mother's side of the family, the maternal side of my family, I'm going to start with Jonathan Bickerstaff, who was my great-grandfather. He crossed the plains with a cavalry regiment after the Mexican War. And then he became a prospector, and I guess he did pretty well.
What kind of name is Bickerstaff?
It's English. Mm-hmm. And let's see, he was prospecting in Virginia City in Sacramento, and he got enough money to send for his sweetheart, Anna Murphy, in Dublin, Ireland. I have no idea how he met her. I have no background on Jonathan. But he sent for her, and she came. And they were married in Sacramento. Then Jonathan and his wife.
Any idea what year they were married, roughly?
Well, it was it was after 1852.
Okay.
Or before 18, let me see. I'm sorry. They purchased land in Larkspur. They purchased 160 acres of government land for $1.25 an acre. They had built a small frame house there. On the property, which was in downtown Larkspur. Okay, after being married in Sacramento, Jonathan and Anna purchased some land in government land for $1.25 an acre in Larkspur. They built a house there and became one of the Marin's first families. The house was destroyed in fire in 1852, so And then Jonathan, who was a guard at San Quentin Prison, built an adobe house in Larkspur with the help of prison labor. The house was built on a knoll that was said to be an ancient Indian shell mound. The family had four children, William, Josephine, Joseph, and Edmund. And they were very prosperous. They had 50 head of dairy cows and 10 to 12 horses. Joseph, my grandfather, recalled his mother taking a 100-pound pack of butter to San Rafael in exchange for clothing and supplies. The land, as I said, had been purchased from the government for $1.25 an acre. Well, in 1871, after they had been on the land for almost 20 years, the heirs of John Reeds claimed that that was part of their land grant that they had received. And they filed claim that that land should be theirs. And in 1865, they started a suit in the U.S. Circuit Court against squatters that they said, even though my great-grandfather purchased the land. Well, the case dragged on in the circuit court until, let's see when that was, I'm sorry, but it dragged on, and finally a decision was made to grant the heirs the sum of $1,500 and the land. And the people that lived on the land for 18 to 20 years had to get off the land.
So I'm sorry, can I interrupt you?
Yeah.
The decision was to give the $1,500 to the Reed family?
Well, that plus the land.
Okay, so the Reeds won the judgment.
They won the suit.
Okay.
And the land that my grandfather lived on, the 160 acres that he thought he purchased, had to be turned over to them. And so they lost all that. They lost everything on the land.
How could that be? Bought it from the government?
He did. But the Reeds claim that the government didn't have the power to sell that land.
Okay, and he couldn't get some reimbursement from the government?
No, in the book it said they departed and had to leave everything behind. And they named the names of the people who had owned that property. Well, Jonathan also owned land in Redwood Valley, which is Muir Woods. Outside of Redwood Valley. Well, actually, out in Redwood Valley, where he had a small cabin. I don't know what happened to Jonathan after leaving the land in 1871. I think it was he had to leave the land. My grandfather was Joseph, Jonathan's son, was born in 1860 in Larkspur, in the family home. Well, they owned this little cabin in Redwood Valley, near Woods. And my grandfather, when he was older, he developed a refreshment stop called Joe's Place. It was right outside the entrance to Muir Woods. The building is still there today. And he had a cabin, and he was a trapper. I mean, he trapped bobcats and skunks and raccoons, and he sold their skin, some of them, to Liebes's department store in San Francisco, an old-fashioned department store. I don't think it's there anymore. He got $3 for a skunk skin and $8 for a good raccoon skin. He had the distinction, I don't know if it's a distinction or not, of shooting the last black bear in Marin County. Shot that in Muir Woods. After World War I, my grandfather Joseph, Jonathan's son, he built and operated Joe's Place in Muir Woods. It was a popular place for hikers. It was a refreshment stand and dance hall. There were many pictures, not many pictures, I have a picture of it. It was located just outside the entrance to the Muir Woods Monument. It was popular for 40 years. He served hamburgers and hot dogs and coffee and made lemonade. And I remember my mother worked there as a child. I don't remember it, but I remember hearing my mother worked there as a child, and my aunts and uncles all worked there. They would have to hike over to Muir Woods and work. And I remember as a child going to Joe's place and seeing my grandfather there. He lived there. And okay, we'll go on to Joseph, the son. They moved. Let me see. Let's stop. Okay. Joe's place went out of business before 1940, I'm sure. And the building is still there. That was it's been remodeled and then probably enlarged. It is now part of the National Park Service of the National Muir Woods National Monument, and they use that building as a maintenance building. Period.